Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, that's like we're not done. Like, we have lots of years to go. So I'm so grateful for today, for y'all's celebration, that there's cake and these pictures. I was a teeny bit concerned because there's a picture from the Costa Rica trip. Amy brought these masks, and I was a little worried that my mask picture was going to be up there. It's really scary. But you know, like, the whole time, like, as we're singing the song and these pictures are going through, and I'm so touched, and I'm touched because as the stories are going through, like, what we're celebrating is the way that God continues to be at work in this place all through the year. And I've only gotten to be with you for 1 year, but the testimony to what God has done in this place over the last year that we just got to witness in those pictures and think about and celebrate. And I just want you to know what an honor it is to do that alongside of you, to experience God alongside of you. And I'm just really excited for what God continues to do. So I'm grateful for the celebration, but it's of course, it's not about me at all. It's about what God's doing here. And I'm so grateful to do that alongside of you. I want to tell you about something else that's really amazing that God's doing here. And we're going to take a moment to celebrate that. There is this organization called the Association of Presbyterian Christian Educators, APSE for short. It's a really big deal. It's the whole country, people who do Christian education or serve in children, youth, adult discipleship ministries in churches all over the country. They become members of this organization. They do classes through this organization. And every year they have a really huge retreat. Or it's a conference, and it is a massive undertaking. I think that there are, where is Jan? 700, 800. How many people are coming this year? 500. In person, because there's also a virtual component. So we're getting to 800. It's probably 1,000. It is massive. It's massive. And I want you to know that our own Jan is co-chair, so her and one other person are in charge of this massive conference that is happening this week. Jan's been working on this for years, preparing. She leaves this afternoon to go, and the conference will begin a little bit later this week. And this is a really big deal. It's an honor for us to get to send somebody to be a part of this, but we're really excited for Jan and excited for the way God's been at work through her. And this is a big deal as we're sending her off to do ministry and mission work to the great city of Memphis, Tennessee. And so, Jan, I'm going to invite you to come up here. We're going to pray for her, to commission her to this work that she's doing. And I know that Jan does a lot. If you are a guest with us this morning, Jan works with our families, does a lot of work with our children. So I'm going to invite our children to come up to help do this prayer and surround Miss Jan as we pray for her. And if any of her volunteers want to come up and be part of this as well, we want to surround her with our love and prayers. Y'all kind of make a circle around her. Now here's the deal. I'll say most of the words in the prayer, but at the end, we're very excited about this, and we really want to make sure that Miss Jan knows that God is going with her. So when it's time for the amen, like, I need to feel it. We need to make sure that the heavens hear the amen at the end, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I need volume, enthusiasm. All right, so I'll say that when I'm going to say, like, the whole prayer. And then when I say amen, you're going to say amen, and you're going to, like, give it to us, okay? Okay. I mean, we want holy innocents to hear it. You know what I mean? We want the Episcopals to know what it's like to worship here, okay? All right. Let's pray. Let's pray for Miss Jan. Holy God, we are so honored, Lord, to be here in this place, to gather together, to know you. And we are grateful for the impact that Miss Jan has on our own lives, on our ministry, on this community, and on Kairos. And we are delighted that you have called her to go about this important work, Lord. We know that there are hundreds, and by way of those hundreds, then thousands of lives that are going to be touched because of the work that you are doing through her. So we pray for this week. We pray for safe travels. We pray for spaces to rest. We pray for the to-do lists. We pray for the people that you are preparing right now to, as they begin their own journeys to Memphis. God, we pray that you would be at work in big ways, that people will know you in a bigger and real, personal, intimate way because of the work that you are doing here. Lord, guide Jan. Continue to give her patience, wisdom, a sense of peace. Lord, that you would continue to enhance her leadership, that she would do the work that you have called her to do. Keep her faithful. Lord, and may she know that there are hundreds of prayers right here from Sandy Springs that are following her, surrounding her all along the way. And may she know that you go with her every step of the way. Lord, we're grateful and hear our prayers. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well done. Well done. Thank you. And y'all are good. Y'all can go downstairs now. I'm going to dismiss all of the children and the students to their ministries. So much going on today. It's a great day to be in worship. I'm delighted that you're here, delighted for this time to be together. I feel like between the snow day and the holiday weekend, we've been a little, haven't gotten to be together as much, and I miss you when we're not together. And so I'm just thrilled that we can be together this morning. We've talked a little bit this morning about a year ago, I first started at Kairos, and when I started here, you all held these really lovely dinners. Tons of you hosted dinners in your home, and we could get together, and you helped me get to know Kairos, who Kairos is. And at all of those dinners, we asked the question, what's it time for at Kairos? Which is a clever little play on words, because the word Kairos is a Greek word that means God's time or ordained time. And so as we think about what's it time for at Kairos, what is God doing here, and how do we respond to that? That's something, as Joe mentioned, that the people of Kairos have been doing our whole life long. As long as there's been a Kairos, the people of Kairos have been asking that question. All the way back in the beginning, when the original founders gathered together, they asked this question, who is God calling this church to be? And that group of people came up with four rhythms of discipleship, what it looks like to be in a relationship with Jesus in a real and vibrant way. And Kairos grew, and it moved to Grant Park, and then from there it moved to here. And as Kairos moved into this building, again, the leadership asked the question, who is Kairos? What's God? Who is God calling us to be? And the leadership at that time came up with three really beautiful theological statements on what it means to know God and to join in God's work and to live in God's community. And so then, when I started, we continued to ask that question, who are we? Who is God calling us to be? So leadership team has spent a lot of time asking that question, prayerfully discerning, what does this mean? Where are we going? What does this look like? And so in December, as we took the four rhythms and the three theological movements, and remember the Acts passage, and as we held all of those things together to say, who are we? In December, the leadership team unanimously passed our mission statement would be to encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. And as we think about what does that mean and how do we do that, the leadership team developed four core values of who we are as a church. So those four core values are authentic community, meaningful worship, dedicated discipleship, and intentional mission. That this is who we are. This is how we're going to go about doing things. And I would love for you that we wrote all this really beautiful stuff about those things that's on the website, and we're going to continue to publish those so you see them. And we're going to, over the next few weeks, we're going to look into each of those and dive into them and see what it is that God's teaching us and telling us about what it means to be each of those four things. This morning, we're going to start with authentic community. And in order to do this, we're going to look at a scripture passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. But before we go to the word, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you continue to speak, that you continue to reveal things, you continue to be about being with your people, guiding us, leading us, directing us, that we would be your church. And so God, as we turn to your word now, we pray that you would continue to reveal yourself, speak to us, God, and of course, may this impact with you, this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. Be present, dear God. In your name we pray, amen. This passage from Hebrews that we're going to look at in chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 19 and read through verse 25. But this passage also is one that the original people, the founders of Kairos, turned to, and it was very influential in the mission statement. So I'd invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he has promised to be faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You might remember, if you were here a few months ago, that one of our church members, Colin Edwards, was up here calling for the offering, and as part of the way that David did this morning, Colin was doing it that day. And part of what Colin is talking about is the impact that Kairos has had on him and on his family. And you'll remember, if you were here that day, you'll remember that he said, "This place is so important that I know if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, you all would show up at my house." And then he said, "And you would have to, because I have 4 children and somebody's got to help Ann Ross with all those kids." And we all kind of laughed at that, except for it was such a powerful image for what authentic community looks like. And what I found out later, we were in a staff meeting and we were talking about this. We were talking about how Colin had said this. And one of the people on the staff meeting said, listen to the rest of the story. So with that Sunday that Colin shared that, a friend of hers was visiting Kairos, a friend who goes to another church. And she heard Colin say this about the bus. And she called the staff member later and she said, "Here's the thing. I go to this really giant church and I started thinking on the way home, who's going to show up at my house? And I couldn't think of who it would be." And I think, I don't know who this person is, but I think that that person's continuing to visit. So if you're here, I'll come to your house. We'll be there. We'll be there. Authentic community is a really important piece of who we are. From the very first time I ever met anyone from Kairos, they used the words authentic community. We say them all the time. This is it's a deep value for how we were formed and how we go about doing our things. And we talk about authentic community, and I'm thinking, golly, if ever there was a week to talk about authentic community. I have no idea if your social media algorithm looks anything like mine, but it's on fire right now. Everyone has these really big feelings right now about the inauguration and executive orders and prayer services that were boring and uninspired, except for they inspired an awful lot of attention. And so we gather together on Sunday morning and we're wandering in here in the midst of the world shouting. It's the world is so busy shouting at us, "Listen to me and do things my way," and it doesn't feel like anyone's listening to anybody else, and we're weary. And we walk into this place and we think, is authentic community even possible? Because that's a bold claim. It's a bold claim to think there is a place where we can have authentic community. And so we look at this passage in Hebrews. This preacher in Hebrews is preaching this sermon for us. And what I want you to know has happened just before the passage that we read. Just before this, this preacher is preaching this sermon on the superiority of Christ's sacrifice. And he's ended it. The section just before we picked up ends with a quote from the prophet, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And it reminds us that it is through the sacrifice of the Messiah, which we would see as New Testament people through Jesus, that we have entered into a new covenant. A covenant is an honored relationship where we are connected by a love and a grace that is greater than our own ability to connect. And so through the sacrifice of Jesus, then we have been embraced into a covenant. And so that's why when we started our passage in verse 19, it tells us that we have entered into this sanctuary. We have entered into a holy space. God is connected to us in an honored, a treasured relationship, and that relationship is a holy space. So the preacher tells us to hold fast to that hope without wavering, to remember and count on the fact that God is faithful, that God is always honoring that covenant that God's invited us into. But the thing is, the whole time that the preacher is talking about this covenant, the whole time that he's preaching all of this stuff, all the nouns and all the verbs, they're all plural. Everything, when the preacher is talking, he's wanting us to remember that none of us are alone in this. No one has been tasked to figure out how to go on by yourself and sit in solitary when the proverbial bus brings moments when God feels far or life feels falling apart or when the world is screaming at us. The holy space is that honored relationship with God and the honored relationship with one another. That God has fashioned us into a community and invited that community into an honored relationship where nobody lets go. And then in the midst of that community, the preacher goes on to tell us that we need to provoke one another. And we're like, yes, that sounds like this week. That sounds right. Except for the preacher doesn't talk about provoking one another the way that everybody has been provoked all week. What he's talking about is flipping it on its head and provoking one another, it says to provoke them to agape, to provoke them to unconditional love and good deeds. That we are to provoke one another to actively participate in that covenant with God, actively participate in that community of faith, loving one another and building one another up so that your neighbor is just as aware of being held as you are. One of my very most favorite, y'all know, we are a football family. I will reiterate the Go Gamecocks situation we plugged earlier. But one of my favorite football stories is from 1994 when the Buffalo Bills had lost their fourth Super Bowl in a row. Their running back, Thurman Thomas, he had had three fumbles in that game, certainly sealing the deal for the Bills. They were playing the Dallas Cowboys, and their running back, Emmitt Smith, had been named MVP of the Super Bowl. And as the story goes, that Thurman is on the Bills bench after the game, he has his head in his hands when he hears a voice and he looks up, and Emmitt Smith is standing there with his goddaughter. And he says, "I want to introduce you to the greatest running back in the NFL, Mr. Thurman Thomas. We are called to build one another up, to provoke one another to love and good deeds." The writer of Hebrews, the preacher of Hebrews, goes on to tell us not to stop meeting together, not to stop worshiping together, that the reminder of the covenant is that we come together and we honor the God who has covenanted with us, gathering us together to sing and to pray and to worship. That's why it's so important for us to be together every Sunday. It's why this morning, as soon as we're done with this, we're going to move into a time of community prayer so we can actively pray for one another. It's why when you're not here, we miss you, and it's a big deal. We aren't the same when you're not here. We gather together to authentically worship because we can't be authentic community without that worship. The preacher tells us to encourage one another. The Greek word for encourage is parakaleo, and that literally means to call to one's side. We're called to come alongside of one another, to travel with one another. The preacher is telling us to come alongside, to hold each other up, to be committed in this covenant together. Because the world is tough, and there are times when it is mentally, physically, emotionally overwhelming. We can't do it alone. And if we think for just a minute that we don't need each other, that we don't need our people to remind us of the covenant, that we don't need people to remind us that we are being held, if we don't need to actively be holding one another, if we don't need to remind one another of the love and grace and honored relationships, if we're going to keep telling ourselves we don't need anybody, we are deceiving ourselves. This is not how we were created. And that Greek word, that parakaleo, this is my favorite part of the whole passage, that Greek word parakaleo, where he's encouraging us, that we are encouraged to come alongside of one another, that root word for parakaleo is paraclete. And paraclete is the Greek word that Jesus uses to name the one that Jesus is sending to comfort us and to counsel us. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's the same word for the Holy Spirit. What I'm telling you is the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has that same word in it. This idea of coming alongside of someone is so important that it is part of the very makeup of the triune God that we gather together and worship. And not only then is this coming alongside of and knowing the presence of God in all that we do, it also is a reminder to us that we are called to embody that Spirit for one another. That is the call of who we are called to be when we talk about authentic community, that we would feel the Spirit, that we would know the Spirit, but that we would embody that for others in our community. Several years ago, I was out running errands when my car would no longer let me ignore the little light that looks like a gas thingy, you know? And so I had to stop at the gas station, much to my dismay, and I'm stopping on Holcomb Bridge Road at 400. If you ever have to come through Roswell, you know this is a terrible, terrible place to have to stop. But there was literally no more gas. I couldn't go on any longer. I had to stop there. There's like 17 lanes of traffic going in both directions, and everybody is going 1,000 miles over the speed limit. The place is a mess. So I pull over at that Shell station to begin to fill up my car, and as I pull up, there is a man who's standing on the little island where the gas pumps are. By the looks of him, he probably hadn't showered in quite some time. But it wasn't necessarily that I was paying attention to. There was something about his posture. It was like there was a whole part of him, a half of him, that somehow had like atrophied. Something about the way it moved, like he was having a difficult time moving it. But then the other part of him was shaking, and he had these significant tremors. He was shaking. And I hear him ask the man on the other side of the island who's pumping gas, I hear him ask him if he can help him. And the man who's pumping the gas said, no, I don't give money to strangers. I'm so sorry. And the shaking man said, no, I'm not asking for money. I need help crossing the street. So pumping gas man said, okay. He finished what he was doing, and he began to head toward the street. When he realized that the shaking man wasn't moving very quickly after him, he was moving very slow, his steps were very labored. So he walks back to get him, and somehow they realize, as I watch, they realize that if he turns backwards, he can move a little bit quicker. So they turn the shaking man around backwards, and pumping gas man puts his arm around him and steps onto Holcomb Bridge Road. stopping traffic one lane at a time, and travels across the street with the stranger. I waited at my gas pump. I was done pumping gas, but I waited there for a long time in awe. I was overcome with gratitude that I had witnessed such a sacred moment. And when he came back, I thanked him, and thanked him partly for what he had done, but mostly because I was so grateful that I had been able to share in that holy space, that I had witnessed that in every real way, he had been paraclete to the man as he crossed the street. He had come alongside of him and made sure that he was held and cared for as he journeyed. And that is who we're called to be. That is how we are called to do authentic community. That in the midst of whoever we are and whatever we're going through, that we would come alongside one another and claiming our heldness in our God. You know, right after I started, the very first person who joined this church was Katerina. And I remember when you joined, Katerina, and you stood up here and you told us about yourself and you said, but here's the thing, I'm a mess. My family is a mess. But that's why we're here, because Kairos is okay with the messiness. Friends, you who are messy, you who are being shouted at by the world, you who are doing the shouting, you who are falling apart, you who are stuck and unable to move, you who are angry at today, you who are hurting, you who are lonely, you who are doubting, you who are ashamed, you who are rejected by others, you who are lost, come, be a part of this community. And together, may we know the God who holds us in covenant and the love of others as we come alongside of one another and journey together in authentic community. May it be true in my life and in yours. Amen.